John for many years too, and I'll talk about it a bit later on, but it is a privilege to be here, some good and some not so good, by the way, he doesn't know that, but it's good to be here because I've identified with this fellowship in many ways, but I've been coming back from time to time. It's based here in Salisbury, where we lived for 15 years, and this is like our second home, really, so it's just good to be here and to be part of this morning as we say, kind of, farewell to Tony and Ruth, and welcome John and Anne. As well. I say that with great emphasis, but it is Anne as well. I want to read from a very well-known passage. It's one that's very close to my heart. I was asked once whether I'd had any training in ministry. I was a businessman before ministry. I said no, I've not had no training apart from the Word of God. And that's been my guide. It's also been there to correct me and discipline me when I failed him. And I'm very pleased that by the grace of God I am here today, able to minister this word. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul is speaking about walking in unity. And the particular verse I want to share this morning that relates very much to where we are, I think, or where you are as a fellowship. So Ephesians chapter 4, and I read from the New King James Version. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body, the edifying of itself in love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your living word, your active word, your sharp word that judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts and really does bring home to us, Lord, that what you say is true. It was relevant then, it's relevant to us today, and we pray that your Holy Spirit himself will speak today, that we might hear, but not just hearers only, but doers of your word, that we might know the blessing that only you can give. So we thank you for your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I've learnt over the years that God doesn't always create anything particularly new. He just opens our eyes to what's already there. I was reading about Hagar, who was dismissed from Sarah after, of course, she gave birth to Ishmael. And they went into the desert, Beersheba, and the son was put aside because they fell into water. And there was Hagar weeping. The lad clearly was praying, although the Bible doesn't say that, but the Lord heard his voice. And something happened amazing, and that was, as they were so concerned about their situation, There was no water around, so they thought. The Bible says that God simply opened her eyes to what was before her. And her eyes were open, and one of the wells that were nearby that she hadn't noticed became very obvious to her that God was supplying her at that particular time what they needed. And in my experience, God always turns up at times when we don't expect it. And he surprises us. He opens our eyes to things that are already there and that we hadn't noticed. In verse 15, Paul says this, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ." I remember, it must be over 30 years ago, in fact, when I talk about the old days, I remember them going back to far longer than 30 years ago, but it was 30 years ago or so before I came into business, and I was considering what that might look like and what our future might be. And I remember reading from Galatians chapter 6, where Paul speaks about, if we have opportunity, let us not give up, but do good to the household of God. And in a sense, it was like a seed that was dropped into my spirit. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was something that began to grow over many years during my life as a businessman, and then eventually one day, one weekend, that word produced fruit and I was called into the ministry. And some of you would know that you're in the service at that particular time, how much of a blessing it was. And I believe that anybody doing ministry today has to be called to do it. It's not a job just for convenience. It's not something we do. It's not something that Tony and Ruth have done. It won't be something that John and Anne will do. It is a calling. It is a time such as this where God is ministering by his Holy Spirit. And so today, I pray that God will open our eyes to the revelation of his word, because I believe it's very strategic for where you are as a fellowship. Speaking the truth in love is being very overlooked, I think, over the years. In fact, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones actually said it's been misunderstood, it's been misplaced, because people talk about church growth, but they don't talk about church maturity. And I remember Reverend Oliver Vellacott, some of you remember him, he gave a little talk to us. At the time, it was a minister's fraternal, and he said, "How many of you play bingo?" Well, of course, no minister would admit to playing bingo. We all have our faults, but none of us would agree to that. But the principle of bingo, of course, it's a numbers game. And he said this, "Would you be the same person in front of 50 people or even 30 people as you would be in front of 500 people?" I believe Tony and Ruth have been very faithful to you as a fellowship. And to those that perhaps don't know the fellowship very well, that they've come here, they've stood here, they've ministered, when there's just been a handful of folk that have been able to be here. And Tony, that's a credit to you, brother. I mean, what can we say about faithfulness other than that's evident in what you've done over the years? And so the church isn't about getting the people in. It's about maturing each one to that, so that we don't get tossed around by every wind of teaching, but we grow in God and we grow in love for him and for each other. And I believe that this church will face many challenges, as God's church is going to today. The true church of God, I believe, in the days to come will emerge, and the immature church will simply be less and less effective. So God is calling you to grow, continue to grow in him. I believe, Tony, you've laid some massive foundations here in your teaching, your preaching. It's a bit like with apostleship, in a way. The apostles were the quarrymen that dig out the foundations, and then the evangelists and pastors come along also and shape the stone and make it what it is. So this is the beginning of a new ministry, and it's a thrill that I should be asked to come, because I've known John for 38 years, is that right? And I was on his stag night before he married Anne. I've never known anybody consume so much food in one evening. But he reminded me as we were eating last night that we'd had the meal and then he decided to have more starters after we finished the meal. I think Johnny had 5 starters that night, is that right? I mean, has he changed much? And these were garlic starters, so you can imagine. So any time I meet with John, there is always something to do with hot food and garlic and whatever. So I was at a stag night, I was at their wedding, they tell me, I kind of forgot that a little bit. I have forgotten a few things. I've driven in his many cars, I've been on his boat when he had one, I've flown as far as Scotland with John in the aircraft, and on one occasion I lent him my credit card. It did give it to me back, but I didn't know quite what he did with it. But the one thing I've not mastered yet is that unconventional cycle that he's got, that you have to cycle it differently to cycle upright. Is that right? I don't know if anybody has cracked it apart from John. Has anyone been on it and cracked it?
No, I've tried it.
Andrew, you haven't? No. So I haven't had that. But one thing about John that has always sort of undergirded him and his character, and that is his love for the Word of God. And to me, that kind of continues where he's at. This is his love for God's Word. He's taught God's Word. He's encouraged me God's Word. And that's a reflection of his love for the Lord as well. And I think that will come out in the days to come as he ministers to you and with you. And listening to his message last week, I picked up this thought of his on one body, many parts. I'm going to repeat just something he said. And he set out this. In the weeks and months ahead, whatever you call me, pastor, leader,
John,
he says this, and I think this is very, very important. He says, I want to get all of us to discover our part in his plan, different roles, different times, like the early church, rediscovering the potential of each one and their gifts in building up the church. Now, of course, that's not a new thing, but I think that's underlying what you've been trying to do over the years, Tony, is to really build up the body in the sense that everybody plays their part, where you can all reach that place of unity and agreement. So it's going to be quite interesting. Tony was saying earlier, it's not the way you'd like church to be, with masks and everything else, and social distancing. It's not comfortable, and that will change, we pray, soon. I think the government has to lift restrictions after the recent events, but then that's another story. But it's clear that the preaching of the word has been central here, and I think John will continue to fulfill that role in a powerful way to bring you all into that place where you all know what your gifting is and using that in every possible way. So here we are, verse 15, and I leave this kind of with you, really. Paul saying, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We should not overlook this very important verse. Speaking the truth in love. I want to say this could be a rhema word for you today. This is really God speaking into your situation. I've thought and prayed a lot about this. Because when I see verses like that, you can easily misplace them as Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones suggested. And I remember once, I'm preaching in a church, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, I want to say this in love. Now when anybody says that, you know what's coming next, and it's everything wrong about you and nothing is wrong. And I've had that. I remember when we were up in Stowe, actually, it's on the world where we went when we were from here. And it was a church, a Baptist church. That's why I was holding the cup to the end, Tony, because in Baptist circles we all drink together. Anyway, beside the point. And there was this couple in the loft, in the balcony. Always sat up there, nobody else was up there, the rest of the folk were down. And they invited me to go and see them and just talk about the way things were. And I went to see them. And they said, I'm going to say these things in love. And again came out almost abuse. They didn't like my voice. And surprise, surprise, they didn't mind me playing the tambourine. Now, John gave the tambourine this morning, and I hope that you're able to hear that I still have some qualities at least. Although this drum effect here, that's absolutely brilliant, I must say. But this verse has been used to be used as criticism against one another. And you know, gossip separates good friends, the Bible says. And one of the last things any of us want to experience within the context of a maturing church is gossip, things said about one another, and things said about the ministry. And I'm fairly certain that John would rather you say it to his face rather than not. Because I think these things are very important. Speaking the truth in love, in a sense, is what Paul was really wanting to stress as part of a maturing church. You know, here's Paul at the end of his ministry, and over the years that he spent in Ephesus, and that was 3 years, he kind of got hold of the thought, what God wanted him to say, that would remain for the test of time. That was a message that really spoke about what the Church of God should look like. I don't honestly think today, I'd be absolutely honest, that I've experienced a church that's completely mature. I think it is a journey, it is a process. But here we have this word for us today. And here's Paul speaking on the doctrine, on the practical aspects of the church, and he's really centering in chapter 4 on how the church should be and how it should perform. The five-fold ministry, of course, of which John is part of, for the equipping and the building up of the saints. And that's just wonderful. And I've got a word wealth here in this Bible. It says, making fit, preparing, training, perfecting, making fully qualified for service. And in the classical language, the word is used for setting a bone in place during surgery. So trying to be a little bit like a surgeon, doing a lot of surgery perhaps. And so this verse, and what does it mean, speaking the truth in love? Just two thoughts coming here. First of all, speaking the truth in love is not about being critical. Although it is true, in the life of Jesus, he was very critical of false teaching. The epistles, or some of them, were written against false teaching. And so it's right for us to challenge anything that goes against the word of God, and to really speak out against it. I think that's important, rather than accept things as they are. And this verse, he simply says, but. We mustn't ignore buts, because they appear in Scripture so often. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God, in many references. Never ignore the little buts that appear in Scripture, because it shows how God transforms and changes situations and lives. So what does it mean to speak truth and love? And I think this is the key that I want to leave with you this morning. If I say finally 3 times, you know I'm almost at the end. So finally. The way we respond to truth and love impacts every aspect of our lives. And our version of love might be different in so many different ways. But to me, I think speaking the truth in love is not actually saying something we don't mean. If somebody said to you, ladies here, that your hair looks lovely and it doesn't, in a sense that's flattery, but flattery is a form of lies, and we don't want to hurt one another. But I don't think Paul was meaning here to be nice. I think he was there to be genuine. And in my experience, when we look at the life of Jesus, he was genuine and not always nice. And I know for myself, having been in ministry, that sometimes being nice is the wrong thing you could possibly be. But speaking the truth in love does make a huge difference. And I say that because what Paul is saying here, that speaking the truth in love is about dealing with conflict in a very mature way. Many churches fail because people have conflict that are not resolved, and we know that from the church that we're involved with at the moment, where there's issues that are unresolvable at the moment because there's a conflict going on. And when there's conflict, there's the ability for everybody to resolve it by just speaking the truth and saying it openly as it is. And I think Tony's big enough and bold enough, and so is John, to receive comments that may not be in liking with your own understanding of what you believe is right according to scripture. You can resolve it, you can pray it through and come to an answer which is right for everybody. So the mature church is a church that deals with speaking the truth in love. And many churches ignore this. They still grow, but they never mature. So I pray that will be what you will be involved with here, more and more, speaking the truth in love. Don't forget that Paul made mention of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, when he said, "There's one thing I have against you," says Jesus, "and that is you have forsaken your first love." To love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and to love one another is God's heart for all of you, I believe, as it was, and it will continue to be. So growing up in all things, the head is Christ. He speaks very much, Paul, of the present tense here, growing up in him, the head who is Christ. There are plenty of churches around that have a mission statement. I mean, I tried to do that. Doesn't quite work. About being a lively church. We're a spirit-filled church, we're a Bible-based church, we're all sorts of, we're good with children. And all these things are very important, but they're not the key to what God's church should be and is. Because the Word of God undergirds everything that Paul was saying, and it should undergird everything you say and do here. The entire section of this part of Scripture is undergirded by a word from God, the revelation of God that Paul gave him. The immature church has lots of things going on, but no one's really growing. Here at AOG Salisbury, I believe that John will add to what Tony and Ruth have done in terms of ministering to you. I don't think it's going to be easy for any of you, and it won't be for John for that matter. It's going to be tough going as the Word of God as it unfolds, but I think it's going to be a challenge, and I think it's going to be a wonderful blessing. The foundations have been laid, 26, 27 years of foundational work here, and now John is taking on where Tony leaves off. The head, who is Christ? If Christ isn't the head, then somebody else has taken that lead. If we lose contact with the head, we lose contact with the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus himself. The mature church is a church that participates in God's image, becoming more and more like Christ in every way, and being responsible like him. I like that. I like that because that sums up what I've always believed. In one sense, I get to see it in its fullest sense, and I pray that we'll see it here in the days to come. So I trust this word will be very much on your hearts in the days to come. I pray that God will continue to open your eyes once you look at this scripture together, that it won't be misplaced, but it'll be very much the cornerstone of where you go from here, and pray that you'll know the God's blessing upon each of you as you face the challenges of the days ahead. Let's pray together. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see. Open our hearts, Lord, that we might understand what you are going to do in these days to come. Lord, I know at times that some of us have looked to Tony, but Tony being the figurehead, Tony's been the one who we have relied on, trusted in, and rightly so. But Lord, I pray that our eyes would lift beyond the man, and see the head of his Christ. that folk here would look beyond John and see Christ ahead, and see the one who will serve in this place. And we pray to bring honour and glory to your holy name. So we pray your blessing on this fellowship, a true blessing on Tony and Ruth in whatever, wherever you are going to take them. And we pray that those who have words to give them this morning will be words of encouragement and a real sense that they go with the love of this fellowship. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.